Good morning, good morning, and good morning, and welcome to yet another episode of Popping Off with Phil, the podcast. Happy Tuesday, co-host. I hope everyone had a restful weekend. They took some time to relax, relate, and release. I know that I did, and I was grateful for it. You know, short weeks are always the longest weeks, and we had last Monday off, and so it was a four-day week, but of course, Tuesday feels like Monday. I remember texting friends like, hope you guys are having a productive Monday, and they like, bitch, it's Tuesday. And I was like, oh shit, you're right. But that, I don't know what it is about short weeks that make them so much longer, but they are. You're happy to get to the weekend, and then the weekend blows past you so quickly, and then you're back at Monday. But I had a really good time yesterday. I had a couple of friends over, had a little impromptu brunch, because it's still a little bit safer to do those things in small numbers at someone's home as opposed to going out to restaurants and trying to figure out what the COVID restrictions are for different places. So we just got together. You know, we are friends from church, and we would oftentimes, you know, hit up a brunch spot after service on Sundays, and 2020 took that away from us, and we missed it, and we missed each other. So yesterday was really, really good. It was great to be in my space. It was great to open up my space to share with friends who had not gotten the opportunity to see it before, to do a little cooking with my little, I don't necessarily know if I was a sous chef. We were kind of doing our own things at different times, but it was good to share the kitchen and to realize that I could adequately share my kitchen with someone and we not be in each other's way. So it was a learning experience all around, but it was a great time, and it reminded me of something. You know, oftentimes we all have this habit. You can call it humble, you can call it, you know, being modest, but we have this habit to minimize the things that we have in our lives. Oh, it's just, and we clown other people for minimizing shit, but we do it to ourselves. So it's like, oh, you know, it ain't much. It's just my little house or my little job or my little car or my little boyfriend or girlfriend. And the reality is that this is a big deal. This is a big accomplishment. And I'm grateful that I have friends who remind me of that, not in a malicious way, but just, you know, checking me and saying, hey, no, this ain't no little house, this ain't no little thing. You have a beautiful home and you should be proud of that. So I appreciate having people like that in my corner, having people like that around me, because it makes a difference. And so that's just a little tidbit, a little shout out to those folks. I wanted to talk today about something that's kind of been on my mind, because it's something I kind of struggle with in terms of how to respond to this. I don't always respond well to this. Sometimes I passive aggressively respond to this, and I'm trying to be better about it. And you know, every week I'm trying to figure out, what do I want to talk about? What has inspired me? What's really going to get my go? You know what I'm saying? What's really going to get me going? And sometimes I'm reaffirmed when I see something. So today I want to talk about entitlement being so strong. Listen, before I moved into my home, people were saying, I have friends who are homeowners, and they talk so much about protecting their peace, protecting the sanctity of their home, because your home is your happy place. It's the place that you go. It's your refuge, you know? So the world can be bad, and it can be brutal, and it can be mean, and it can be ugly, but when you walk into your home, when you cross that threshold, that's where your peace is and how important that is. And nobody is necessarily disturbed by peace, and that's not exactly what I'm talking about, but I understand it more and more. I understand how important it is more and more now that I'm actually in this space, and you want to protect the energy of the space, and you don't want people in your space that is going to, you know, throw it off. But it kind of does lend itself to this whole concept about entitlement, because I feel that in so many ways, in so many instances, we come across people who feel entitled to our personage, to our time, to our space, to our money, to our connections, to our talent. And it's time out for that. Like, we really need to start checking people who feel that because of a relationship, or because of their looks, or because they got money, that they have the ability to encroach on things that don't belong to them. And I have a myriad of different examples of this, but I was somebody I follow on social media, she's a friend of mine. She's from back home. She's extremely talented. And she was just speaking about how people have been hitting her up with this expectation there's this assumption that she's so connected. And so they're sending her things like, you need to send this to such and such, such and such. And she was like, hold up. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all need to slow y'all roll. Like, just because someone follows me, or just because you see that I'm getting placement, just because you see things are going well for me, doesn't necessarily mean that I'm in the position, nor do I have to, you know, create a connection for you. Like, I bust my ass. I worked hard to be where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? And I created these relationships with people because of the work that I did, the work that it spoke for myself. Or I did the same thing that you're doing. I sent my stuff out there. I shopped my stuff. I say, hey, listen to it. You know, I made sacrifices so that I could be seen, so I could be visible, so people could see my work. And to think that you can just slide up in somebody's DMs and request that they do something for you, this favor for you, and then your response when they say, no, I'm good, or no, I can't do that, it's ridiculous. It's the same thing with your time. People are so inconsiderate and feel so entitled to your time that they make plans. They make decisions about, you know, what needs to happen and when it needs to happen with no real consideration of what's important to you. I'm going to tell you one thing. I have a good friend, and I'm going to get him on the show so we can talk, because I want to talk to him about friendship. And I want you to have an opportunity. I've had friends on the show before, but I want you to have an opportunity to just kind of hear his perspective on friendship, what's important to him. One thing I value about Stephen DeJuan Booth, yes, I'm calling you out, he's a friend to the show, he's amazing. But, you know, when he used to come here to visit, if he would come for homecoming or a long weekend, whatever the case is, before he made his arrangements, he would say, hey, Phil, what's your schedule looking like? Do you work this day? Are you off this day? Are you taking some time off? You got a half a day? Can you do this? Can you do this? And that's how he booked his flight. He booked his departure and his arrival based on, you know, what was going on with me. And to me, that's respectful. He wasn't acting from a place of entitlement. And, you know, he could have been like, oh, my best friend live there, I got a place to stay, or I got somebody to drive me around. He never made a plan to see anybody or do anything else without considering what was going on with me. And that's respect. You know what I'm saying? To not feel so entitled that you feel like, oh, well, my flight lands at this time, so surely he'll come pick me up, or surely he'll drop me off, because that shit is whack. And we should be, especially in friendships and just in general, but in friendships, we should definitely be more respectful of what other people got going on. And I learned something from that. I don't even know if I was cognizant of that prior to, because obviously I hadn't really been traveling a lot, but just that baseline consideration of making sure that you're available, or you can be available, or that you're even willing to do it, you know, not making flights too early in the morning or too late at night because you don't want to disrupt someone's schedule, is appreciative. That's respect of a person's time. That's a respect of a person's money, because you have to make adjustments in your day or in your schedule to accommodate when people are coming to town. I don't have a problem doing it. It's just to have enough respect to check with me and make sure that I'm good. And that's just an example of what I'm talking about, of not being too entitled about people's space. Like, I've learned, like, I've never been a person who's just like, hey, I'm coming over, you know? You know, and I understand that people may think that that's harmless and that's not a big deal, but no, honestly, it's a conversation. Hey, what's going on? What you got planned? What you doing? Even if it's a situation where we've had a conversation like, hey, let's get up. Cool. Okay, I'll check what's your schedule looking like this week. Let's figure it out. But then to in turn be like, hey, yeah, well, I'm coming over this day. Oh, are you? Okay. Yeah, no, that's not exactly how that works. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what people have going on. And even if it's a situation where a person says, oh, I'm free all day, ain't got nothing going on. It's important for you to just be like, hey, so this is the day I'm thinking, you know, what's your schedule looking like? Blah, blah, this, blah, blah. Okay, I'm coming over between this time and this time. Wait. If it's a situation where we're meeting somewhere, but you're coming into my space, like you should just be a little bit more cognizant of that. I went to Morehouse. I was in the Glee Club. We have a brotherhood. You know what I'm saying? And there are many of us, myself included. I would do anything within my power to help somebody out. Because that's what I was taught. That's what I got from that experience. It's important to me. You know, I don't have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of connections. But if I'm having a conversation with somebody, and this is not necessarily exclusive to a Morehouse brother either, or a Spelman sister, or a Clark Atlanta University brother or sister, it's, I want to see us win. And when I say us, I mean Black folks. So I have been in situations where I'm talking to somebody and she's like, yeah, I'm trying to get my acting career off the ground. And I'm like, you know what? I got a friend and, you know, she was in this situation not too long ago. Let me reach out to that person. Let me ask her a couple of questions on your behalf. Let me see if she's available to have a conversation with you. Let you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the process. But to assume that because we are brothers, or because we're, you know, and it doesn't matter what the affiliation, if it's fraternity, sorority, if it's some other social group, to automatically assume that somebody owes you something because of that affiliation is whack, and it's entitled. And I've heard too many situations where people have walked into a space being entitled, like, oh, well, we're brothers, so you should. Oh, you got extra space, so you should. Or you got extra money, so you should. Or you got extra time, so you should. They walked into that space, and a person like myself has aided. I'm like, you know what? You're right, that's cool. And then while you're in that space, you disrespect it. You disrespect that person. You disrespect their time. You disrespect their money and their efforts. And then you walk away as if no harm, no foul. No, time out for that shit. We have to start calling people on that, because I think it's important to know the difference. You know, I think that everything should be done with an amount of grace for someone and what they're willing to do and what sacrifice they have to make in order to make that situation happen. I'll give you another example, because I think this is the funniest of it all. You know, I've spent a good portion of my adult life on Christian Mingle. Just so you know, I call all of the social networking sites used to hook up Christian Mingle. And I call them that because what you find is there are people on these sites who have these well thought out profiles about what it is, what it ain't, what it's gonna be. And, you know, with anything behind closed doors, once we're having a conversation, where once we're like, you know, not on the main page and we're actually in each other's chats, it all changes. Or you have a situation where somebody is very, this is what I want and this is what it is, and then the conversation switches up. So, you know, it's on both ends of the spectrum. But I call them Christian Mingle because it's literally everybody wants to present themselves a certain way, and when you start talking to people, you realize it really ain't that. So I find entitlement to be really, really strong in those spaces. You know, people even put things in their profiles like, you ain't gotta be rude. If I say hello back. Why? I don't know you. Like, yes, I understand that there is decorum, there is respect. I would never walk into a room unless I were, well, let me correct that. Under a normal circumstance, I was taught, I don't know if, I, you know, I've never read an Emily Post book, so I don't know about manners, but I was taught that when you enter a room that someone is already in, you bear the responsibility to acknowledge that person, to say something. They're already in the room. You don't walk into a room and expect that somebody's going to stop whatever they're doing to acknowledge the fact that you've walked in the room. You're not the fucking princess or the prince or the king or Jesus. So if you're in a room doing something and I walk into a room, I will say, well, good morning. Let's pick a name. Good morning, Omar. How are you doing? Because Omar fixing his coffee, his back is to me. He's not paying attention. So for me to expect that Omar is going to notice, oh my goodness, Phil's in the room, let me stop what I'm doing to acknowledge that Phil's in the room, is whack. But there are people who are entitled in that way. I said all that to say that that same rule of decorum does not necessarily cross over to social media. Like, especially when we know why we're in these spaces. You know what I'm saying? Like, Facebook is a place where you make friends. Instagram is a place where you make friends. When you're on Christian Mingle, you're not really there to make friends, even though that's what people might try to say they're trying to do. It ain't really like that. So, if I don't want to engage with you because I'm not in the mood for conversation, or I mean, I'm here for a specific purpose, then I'm not obligated to speak to you. And people get really, really upset when you don't acknowledge them, when you don't speak to them. And let me tell you, I have gone through so many different phases on Christian Mingle, so I understand. I've been the person who responded to everybody's message. I've been the person who ignored everybody's message. I've been the person who tried to respectfully decline in advance. I've done all of it. And at the end of the day, you get the same response. Somebody calling you out of your name. Somebody telling you you whack. So it's like 20 minutes ago, you sending me pictures. You're sending me all of these messages. You talk about all these things you want to do. In the moment, rejection comes into play. Or the moment where I'm like, oh, I'm unavailable, or I can't hang it. Then it's like, I am every fag, sissy, bitch, punk in the book. I'm ugly. I'm dirty. I got diseases. Because I'm not feeling you that way. And to me, that's entitlement. And people need to check that. Listen, we all get rejected. We all slide in somebody's DMs. We all send people messages that are not, they don't respond in kind. They're not interested. And they're well within that right. I get shot down just like you get shot down. Learn to deal with that shit. I literally had an exchange with a guy one time where we were supposed to be, you know, scheduling the time to hook up. Okay. And it was like, oh, well, when are you typically available? This is when I'm typically available. Okay. So, okay, let's cool. Let's set it up. It'll go down tonight. Okay, cool. I'm good. Let's do that. Time comes. Nothing happens. Now, listen to me. I'm not pressed. So I'm not going to be one of those people who going to be hitting people up constantly. Like, oh, did you say we was going to do? We already had a conversation. We already established a baseline. We said that this is when it can pop. I'm available here. So that's it. I'm not going to be constantly sending you messages. And if it's a situation where you really want me to be there, you'll hit me up. So I remember, like, you know, then maybe like the next day I hit him back like, hey, you know, you must have had all the fun last night. You didn't, you know, you never said anything. It was like, oh, you didn't respond back. To say what? if at the beginning of our conversation, we established when I would be free, and we established that I would be free at this time on this particular day, you're setting this up. The only thing you need to be shooting me is like, hey, you still coming through? Yeah, here's the address. Here's the time. This is what you need to do. Blah, 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 blah. The onus is not on me. I'm not scheduling all of this. So anyway, that time passed. It's like, well, when are you free again? This is when I'm free again. So nothing happened. So then I get this random message like, games. And I'm like, nigga. Like, okay, cool. So I was like, question mark, question mark, question mark. It's like, well, you never hit me back. And I was like, listen, my nigga. You asked me when I was available. I said I'm available at this time. What more do I need to say? I asked you to hit me when I'm free. I'm free, my nigga. I am free. I said that I am going to be free at this time. Cool. So then it's like, well, when are you going to be free again? I was like, you know what? This is overly complicated. This is too much. This is extra. So how about we just cut our losses? I'm good. You know what I'm saying? And then it's like, oh, so then it's like, and this is where the entitlement comes in. So then it's like, you dirty bitch, you raggedy fat, you. It's like that episode. It's one of my favorite scenes from from Wait to Exhale. It's like, you raggedy bitch. Like, literally, that's kind of how the tables flipped, right? And you know, there was a time in my life where this would really fuck with my self-esteem. I would be upset. I would be angry. I'd be frustrated. Like, why is this going on? I was so amused. And this is how I know I've grown. And I have gotten to that place where it's like, my peace is more important than anything else. And somebody told me years ago, man's rejection is God's protection. And so a lot of times when you find yourself in these situations that ain't popping like you want them to pop, it's because somebody's looking out for you. So I just took that, like, cool. They were going back and forth. I was laughing. I was joking. Like, literally, they would say something and I would, you know, they'd be like, "You fucking sissy." And I was like, "You don't say." "Really?" "Thank you." "Do go on." Like, literally, that was my response because, well, I can be an asshole. So I was like, well, patronage. Let's see how far this goes. We go through this whole thing. And so then they come back and they like, after they've called me everything but a child of God, called me out of my name, because again, they're entitled. My time, my space, my personage. They want all of this shit to be on their time. They come back and they say, "So when are we gonna start arguing and just make this happen?" And I was like, "No, really, I'm good. Like, really, I'm good." And then it went through these whole things. And so I was like, you know, then I blocked the person. But I'm just saying, like, those types of interactions. Like, why do we even have to get to that point? Why do you feel like somebody has to respond the way you want them to respond, act the way you want them to act at a certain time? Like, we gotta get to a better space. To take it out of the secular world, this is even with your family. You know, I've been in situations where I've had relatives who hit me up because I think that people make assumptions about your life. And I learned this from a coworker, a woman that I work with. She said, "Listen, we all here for a reason. We all here for a purpose." You know what I'm saying? So don't assume because somebody may be married to someone that does well for themselves. Don't assume because I drive a nice car, because I dress nice, or because I can afford to eat out at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Don't assume that I don't need this job. Don't assume that I don't need to be in this space. And that was a very valuable lesson to me, because you would be like, "Well, why are you even here? You ain't really got to work. Your husband do this, and your wife do this." Everybody's working for a reason, even if that reason is to get away from the motherfuckers that they live with because they don't like them that much. Everybody goes to work for a reason. And so I learned not to be counting people's pockets, not to be counting people's coins. And I say all that to say, I think that, you know, I've been away from home. I left home at 17 years old to come to Atlanta for college. And I made the decision, be it foolish or be it whatever it be, to not go home, to stay. And there were times that things were not easy. There were times that things were difficult. There were times that things were challenging. And I've gone through some shit that my parents, my family members back home don't know and will never know, because it's not important. I overcame that shit. But I stayed here and I struggled and I worked. And it was hard. It was very, very difficult to be in a space that I'm in today as a 35-year-old man, as a first-time homeowner, as a single man, you know, making it work. But it was a struggle. There have been some rough times. There have been many of overdrafted accounts and many of late notices. Not really late notices. I may be over exaggerating a little bit, but I've definitely had to rob Peter to pay Paul. I haven't gotten late notices, but I definitely paid bills late and definitely have had to call and do payment arrangements and all that other type of shit. So I've been through those things, but I think that sometimes people see you and they're like, well, you live by yourself and you go on a trip every once in a while and you got a degree, that they make these assumptions about what it is your life is, and they feel entitled, because we're family, to be like, "Hey, I need this," or "Hey, I need that," or "Can you do this?" And I've literally had to slow people up and be like, "Listen, you know, I'll do whatever I can to help when I can. I'm not going to put myself in a position," because I've learned this as you grow, "I'm not going to put myself in a position where my family can't eat. And right now my family consists of me. So I'm not going to put myself in a situation where my family can't eat so that your family can eat, based on the choices that you made." You know what I'm saying? If you made choices that put yourself in a situation, if you made choices that in turn put you in a situation where there's a struggle there, you know, those are your choices, you know? If I can help you, I will. But I'm no longer going to be in a situation where I miss a bill, or I can't eat, or I can't do something because of a choice you made. Like, I've outgrown that. And I don't think it's selfish. I think it's self-preservation. So I've had to have conversations where I've had to check people and I'm like, "Listen, hey, You ain't said good morning, how you doing, how was your day? The first thing out of your mouth is what you need and how fast you need it. And that ain't cool. That ain't cool. To make an assumption that because we family, I'm going to drop what I'm doing and not, you know what I'm saying? Like, yes, help your family. I'm not saying don't help your family. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying that entitlement that says that I can call you no matter the time, no matter the situation, and because you're family, you're going to help me. And if you don't, then we got a problem. That ain't cool. You know what I'm saying? I've had to check family, I have to check friends, and it's just, I want to tell people out there who may struggle with this, are struggling with this, that it is okay. You know what I'm saying? You have to protect your personage, your time, your space, your money, your connections, your talent. It is okay from everybody. From everybody. That doesn't mean that you don't do things for people. That doesn't mean you don't look out for people. That doesn't mean you don't help people, but not at the expense of. If I had a family, if I had children, if I had a spouse, that would be different. That would be different. There are things that you do for that unit. You know what I'm saying? And that's important, you know, but still, you know, even in that space, if you're dealing with a spouse or a partner or boyfriend or girlfriend who feels so entitled that they, that you just have to stop what you're doing to in the words of Bernie, to be the background for your foreground. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not cool. And it's okay to check people, and it's okay to protect your peace, and it's okay to be like, listen, I don't have a problem helping you out. I don't have a problem being your dude. I don't have a problem, you know, being family. I don't have a problem being your brother. I don't have a problem with any of those things. But this expectation that you're entitled to me and my space, it's a no for me. It's a no for me. Respectfully. But no, thank you. That's all I got today, good people. It's always a joy being with my co-host. I love y'all. I love y'all for supporting me. I love y'all for holding me down. As you can see, I'm really getting back to my micro content-ish, you know, because I think it's important. I think that people are listening to podcasts less and less, honestly, because people are not in transit. I think people are working from home, and because they're working from home, that need to have something to pass the time or to get them from one destination to another. They don't need, because they're not going from one destination to another. I don't need to listen to a podcast to walk from my bedroom to my office. They're literally a stone's throw. So I appreciate people who are still listening faithfully and still, you know, hitting me up and giving me ideas and giving me feedback and saying, hey, bruh, turn your mic up. Hey, bruh, stop saying hey bruh, talk about some new shit, whatever it is. And I encourage you to continue to do that, because it only makes me better, and I want to be better, you know. And this is inclusive, like, we in this together. Like, I get this whole concept of co-hosts from Wendy Williams. I'm biting, but you know, we're all in this together. Like, we're doing this show together. I need each and every one of you to continue to listen, to continue to support, to continue to share, to like, to rate. It's important. And kick me ideas, things that you want me to talk about, things that you're interested to hear my perspective is. If it's an article that's out there, hey, read this, talk about this. If it's a book, well, slow up on those books, because y'all know I ain't no big reader. I'm trying to do better. Not really. I ain't read nothing in 2021 yet. I still need to finish a book that I started in 2020, but I'm trying to work on it. So anyway, just continue to support your boy, continue to look out for me. Believe it or not, in April, we'll be in season 4 years of doing this show, which is so freaking insane. I can't believe it, but I am so grateful to those who pressed me, pushed me, who supported me in the beginning. And my goal is at some point to talk to all of those people, because I believe that they all have something to offer from a different perspective. I just gotta sit down and map it out. And I promise I'm gonna be better season 4 at doing this. Season 3, with the pandemic and life and breakups and all types of shit going on, this was the best that I could do. But I've been working on just being as consistent as possible, and putting something out there that we all can enjoy, we can appreciate, that helps one another, because it's all about growth and development. But I love y'all for real. Enjoy the rest of your week. Stay out of trouble. Stay safe. Stay masked. Masked up. Remember this if you don't remember anything else. Because I saw something this morning. My cousin posted it. She's a doctoral student at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. Hey. And they were talking about, you know, a cluster at the school got there's a new strand of COVID-19. It's got some numbers. It's like B11721 or whatever the case is. And it's a more aggressive strand. It's not about you. One of the great things, one of the amazing things about being a black man, about being a black person, is this love that we have for one another, this love that we have for community, protecting one another. And over time, some of this has gone away. You know, I've heard people talk about it. You know, there used to be a baseline respect for the elderly, a baseline respect for children, you know. Even in gang wars and even in situations where people get along and beefs and stuff like that, there was a respect for elders. There were a respect for children. And we've lost that among ourselves, among our smaller communities and among the greater world. But it's what makes us unique, that we care that much about each other and about community. We'll make certain sacrifices to make sure that folks are taken care of. And to me, that's the crux of this whole thing. We live in a world where the privileged don't give a shit about anybody else but the privileged. And they're not being affected the same way as the less privileged are. You know, the black community, the Hispanic community, the Asian community, even, you know, those folks are dealing with COVID-19 in a way that's way worse than the privileged. And it's about making that small sacrifice to think about somebody else other than yourself. I'm a relatively healthy person. I know I've said this before. You know, if I come in contact with COVID-19, my hopes is that I would be able to beat it. That's my hope. But to me, it would be more devastating if my contraction of COVID-19 impacted someone that I loved, someone that I cared about, who isn't in the same space that I'm in from an immune standpoint or from a youth standpoint to fight this thing head on. That would tear me up more. You know what I'm saying? I have people in my family who are diabetics. I have people in my family who are cancer survivors. I have people in my family who are struggling with cancer. I have people in my family who have bronchial issues and lung issues, who have other autoimmune deficiencies. It would kill me to know that because of my selfishness and my wild and recklessness that I put somebody else at risk or put somebody else in danger. You know, even those of us who are doing the best that we can to stay clear of this, we still have friends and family members and people that we just know who have been adversely affected because other people are being careless. So, you know, check yourself before you wreck yourself. And it's really not about you. It's about other people. So just keep that in mind while you're out here in this world living your life, that there are other people who also would like to live their lives. And we don't want our freedoms to encroach on their life. Anyway, peace. I'm off my soapbox. I'm about this. Peace. I'll talk to y'all later. Love y'all. Bye.